I'm Frank Vaughn. It is January 2nd, 2025, and I have proposed the ultimate fundraiser for the People's Party of Canada. Yes, Maxime Bernier and Frank Vaughn in conversation on stage so that he would finally have an opportunity to put all of my criticisms since 2020 to bed. Now, you may say, why is it do you spend time on this, Frank? There's more useful things to talk about. And I'm going to explain for a moment just what it is that motivates me to come back to this point every now and again. I co-founded the People's Party of Canada. The color purple I picked. Many of the talking points and policies were plagiarized from me. There's actually a message that I have from a former director of the party asking me if I enjoyed being plagiarized every single day. And at the time I did, because it wasn't about me. It was about a new and effective party for Canadians. Now, this is why, if you go back to my campaign run in 2019 and you go back to all the work that I did, you will hear me talk about a new party for the people. I'm actually contemplating re-releasing some of my debate footage so that you understand that when I went to those debates and I got more applause than anybody else and I actually was very effective, I didn't talk about Maxime Bernier as the new messiah. The first wave of People's Party candidates recognized that there was a vacuum in Canadian politics for a real representative choice for Canadians. Now, at the time, there were questions about the leadership debate that elected Andrew Scheer, whether or not it was fair. We had milquetoast leadership that got worse under Aaron O'Toole. We had conventions in the Conservative Party that didn't allow their members to actually bring forth the policies that they wanted to. And a lot of these issues have been ironed out or at least changed since that period of time. But for me, the People's Party, just making sure real quick my microphone's turned on. I filmed this already yesterday, and I didn't turn my microphone on because I'm trying to save a few cents on hydro by turning it off when I'm done with it. Short-sighted. Anyway, it was never about Maxime Bernier. Now, those of us in the first wave of the People's Party, we said this. Leading into the election in 2019, we told the Canadian public that it was never about a party of one. It was about a party of the people. I said it, and many others said it. The difference is, the people who stayed with the People's Party in the wake of 2019, whether it was Greg Wycliffe, whether it was Mark Friesen, whether it was all of these sycophants for Maxime Bernier, who have lots of criticism for everybody except for their messiah, they switched and flipped their script, and all of a sudden it was Maxime who founded the People's Party in a vacuum, as though he did it by himself. He did not. It was a party for the people. Now, the difference is, Maxime said he was going to deliver a constitution, that he was going to deliver a party for the people, that he was going to deliver bylaws and a policy process and a founding convention. But we had an election to face in October of 2019, and we didn't have time to do those things. That was reasonable. It was reasonable to believe that. It was reasonable to postpone those things until the post-election world materialized because we would have time. And if we did those things, if we developed the People's Party, if we gave people a voice, if we gave people a say, that would build our brand. That would bring people in. That would build the big tent. And people like myself, because there was some fear in the post-election world that members would undermine the party. That wasn't my fear. That was Bernier's fear. This was the justification he and Martin Mas and their board of directors used to deny the people a say. It was a fear of the people. Max self-described himself as a dictator, that it had to be a top-down military structure hierarchy or the People's Party would sunder. They feared people. I don't know why they bothered to put the word people in the party anyway. They could have called it the Maxime Bernier Party, and it would have been more accurate. I don't have a problem, believe it or not, with top-down centralized structures. What I have an issue with is the dishonesty of saying the people will have a say, that there will be a people's party, and you establish a dictatorship, which remains what it is, into 2025. They feared the people, which is why they didn't create a people's party, which is why all the people who stayed flipped their scripts and pretended that Maxime was this populist hero. He's not popular, and he doesn't have a monopoly on good ideas. People always talk about the platform. They always talk about the policies. I have policies too, folks, and I have a platform. Does that mean I'm in a position to become prime minister? Can I win an election? Does that mean when I put pen to paper, or in this case I type or I verbalize in video format, that the ideas I express are mine alone and entirely unique? Now, admittedly, I do have some unique thoughts, or I don't think any of you would be here watching. Or maybe it's just the presentation style. Do I have a monopoly on how I present, how I speak English, how I express myself? If I say something, can I be quoted? If I say something, can someone else say something similar? Maxime Bernier has done nothing unique other than he's created a fantastic business model to keep him and his friends in paychecks and with the funding to run their expense accounts. They don't want to win, which is why Max has made all the various choices he's made over the course of time to do everything that he can to obstruct the growth and the prosperity of the People's Party itself. Up to and including when there was a by-election and he had a popular candidate, because we have to look at 2021. We have to look at the fact that the People's Party was able to peel away 5% support, largely because it was a protest vote against Aaron O'Toole, and it was a protest vote against the draconian mandates and the lockdowns. And they squandered that. In by-election after by-election since 2021, the People's Party is losing support. It shouldn't be that way. And one of the reasons they lose support is because they swear and demean and name-call. Some people took exception to the fact that I talked about the woman who confronted the prime minister and just told him to get the F out of BC. If you're trying to convince people, you're trying to convince people to vote for you, you're trying to convince people, you don't use that language. I wish she hadn't have used that language because it turns people off. In private company, I've been known to swear. But in my videos, I do everything I can to communicate in a certain way. I could say things very differently. I could be liberated. I could have no self-control. I could exercise no restraint. And I'd be the same as everybody else out there on social media. If you want to succeed on X, the quickest way to do it is just to tell somebody to F off. People just love clicking that like button. They like emoting. I'm not here to be popular. I'm not here to emote. I don't care about those things. I'm trying to be effective. Now, whether I am or not, whether I'm successful or not, that remains to posterity to determine when I'm done. The People's Party and its representatives online. Actually, let me start right here with a tweet I made on December 31st. Do you know whose posts I can comment on, who I can write, call, and follow, and whose events I can go to? Pierre Poilievre's. Do you know who's blocked me, banned me, blacklisted me, and whose events I cannot go to? Maxime Bernier's. That's just a fact. Now, I've never volunteered for the Conservative Party of Canada. I've never volunteered for Pierre Poilievre. I have been openly critical of his unconditional and unwavering support for the forever war, the useless war, the throwing away of hundreds of thousands of lives that is ongoing in Ukraine, a war that wasn't necessary, a war that should have been prevented, a war that the West fomented. I am juxtaposed with his position on Ukraine, as I am juxtaposed with every party in the Commons when it comes to this issue. I've expressed myself. I've talked about this. And you know what? No Conservative Party person has blocked me for it. No one has prevented me from having my point of view. Now, why did Maxime Bernier block me? He blocked me because I asked for a constitution, because I asked that the members of the People's Party have some kind of enshrined power, that they have a say over their common destiny, that they have more right than to just send money and work for free. There are volunteers, good people, who still spend their free time promoting the People's Party. Well, he sits in Florida as a part-time leader. He hasn't committed to a riding. He's made himself a joke in the Bows, the only riding he ever stood a chance of getting elected in. The people there think he is a joke now. He doesn't want to win. He doesn't need to win because he's able to solicit hundreds of thousands and even millions of dollars in funding in a corporate structure that functions as a piggy bank, where he can pay himself and he can pay his friends and they can expense things for years to come without delivering any tangible results. You cannot claim to be a populist when you are unpopular. And then you have the PPC's supporters. Like, there's a person, Dr. Virginia J. Johnson, one of the more popular online supporters. Could anyone, and this is in response to me criticizing, justly criticizing, and telling the truth when it comes to the PPC, and telling the truth when it comes to Maxime Bernier and his history of celebrating Quebec's stranglehold over this country. Just today, Premier Mo posted a picture, talks about the equalization and what it's going to cost the Western provinces again. And once again, the East is robbing us in this unfair, broken confederation that we live in right now, which I talked about in my previous videos, how it's not just the institutions and the bureaucracy of this country. It is a fundamentally broken model. We don't have say. We don't have genuine representation. The people have no power. You get to mark an X on a ballot once every 4 years, and then you get to get robbed. There was actually an individual today. I retweeted this, and I got to find it. It was this guy, and he posted, he's just like, We're not taxed to death in this country. BC is one of the more affordable places. And the table that he shared showed that 40 cents of every single dollar that you make is taken from you. How is that fair or just? This country's highway robbery. Your medical system doesn't deliver good services, but it costs more and more all the time. Education isn't concerned with teaching you civics and how to improve your life or economics or anything useful. It's consumed by teaching you how to change your genders, and they want to program your kid with this rainbow gender unicorn nonsense. They're not teaching history. They're not teaching proper mathematics. They're not doing anything real anymore. It's becoming ideologically driven, and it's becoming more and more expensive, and they help themselves to your money. But back to the point, equalization is just one piece of a great big broken pie. The country is unbearably broken, and it is unfair that the West is still treated like a resource colony for the benefit of the rest of Canada, particularly Quebec. The Constitution and Confederation is designed to advantage the French over and at the expense of everybody else. But I digress. I got away from the point, which is I wanted to talk about Dr. Virginia Johnson. That's the pseudonym anyway. I don't believe for a second that she's an actual doctor of any note. When she says to me that I've lost my balls, I'm going to read a quote. Could anyone please loan F.P. Vaughn a sanitary pad and some Mitol? He lost his balls. They make fun of the women in this country who suffer cramps every single month, some horribly, via a process, a biological process, which every single one of us that exists right now participated in by being born. Women bear this burden so that we can all exist, and they look at it as a form of weakness. They use it as an insult. And they think, and this is the point, they think that this is going to deliver successful electoral results. Another guy, DJ Milakovic, or whatever the heck he calls himself. Again, I'd be shocked if it's a real name, because who would put themselves out there like this? And as I'm scrolling, I'm running into Rene DeVries, the self-described giraffe spirit animal candidate, goes right alongside the guy who breathed through his balls and practice semen retention. That was another high-quality PPC candidate. They've also had porn stars as high-quality candidate. A porn star, not porn stars plural, a porn star candidate. They had Trevor Walk, who actually was not the candidate where he ran, but Maxime Bernier personally intervened to parachute this guy in, and he got caught operating a rub and tug and pimping out his own wife. High quality people, and there's a whole list. But that's beside the point. This other guy, DM Milkovic, asked me, "Are you a retard or do you have autism? I just can't see a normal, viable man be as effing stupid and whiny as you because I bring troubling truth about the People's Party and what a scam it is and what a shadow of its potential Maxime has let it into being on purpose so that he can just keep the gravy train rolling but never actually have to deliver any results. It is a grift. It is a scam. You're not in a party. You're a serf. You have no rights. You have no privileges. You have no means of control. You can volunteer and you can send money and that's all you get to do, which is why I propose, since money is all he cares about, that we fill an auditorium. We did this once already. The Hamilton event with Dave Rubin. We filled an auditorium. We sold out the seating. I think we sold tickets for $50 or $80 a piece. I don't remember. I never seen any of it. I paid for my own gas to get there. The People's Party kept it all, just like they keep all the donations. If you go to the website and you think you're donating to a local candidate, you're not. It goes into general revenue. You have to actually cut a check directly to the EDA for any of that money to actually get to the EDA. They don't share the money. They just keep it. For the HQ, for the staff, for Max's friends and his expense accounts. But since he likes money so much, let's fill an arena. I've already had numerous people saying they're willing to fly anywhere in the country to see this event, to see this conversation. I will provide myself at my expense 2 hours of conversation. We don't even need a moderator. We don't need questions. Let's just have a back and forth. You would think that I've earned that by now, considering all the free value that I provided to the PPC back in 2019. And then when I left in 2020, which I didn't, there's a lot of people who say I just disappeared. It's not true. There's a lot of people who say I shouldn't have left publicly. I tried privately. Hundreds of telephone hours. I'm not even kidding. Hundreds of telephone hours with the people that were prominent in the PPC in late 2019 and early 2020. Where I expressed all of the things I'm expressing now. And to the person, they agreed with me. But most of them were cowards who would not say anything publicly. They encouraged me to just stay private. And I'm like, no, here's my prediction. You're not going to get a constitution. You're not going to get bylaws. You're not going to get a say. And Maxime is going to be leader for life moving forward. And here we are in 2025, and I am vindicated. And they still hate me for telling the truth. Call me names, call me retarded, ask if I have autism. And they think that this is a vehicle for growing the party. You fools. And that is what you are. There is no future for the PPC. There is no future in this nation for Maxime Bernier. Things have changed. The moment has passed. If he's so brave and he's so visionary, he should get on stage with me and we should have a conversation. If he's so wise, if he's so sage, if he's so strong, have him face criticism, have him answer, have him put me down once and for all. Lay it to rest if the truth is on your side. But he won't do that. He only does friendly interviews. And when he actually tries to be confrontational like he was with Andrew Lawton, he ends up looking like a fool. A lot of people have offered substitutes. They say, debate this person, debate this other person. I'm not going to debate anyone else. I deserve him. As Donna Ryder, an organizer with the PPC, she said to me, "You just disappeared." And I've already addressed how I didn't just disappear. I publicly left. When private conversations didn't work, I put together videos exposing the corporate structure. I showed you who ran the PPC. I showed you who owned the PPC. Owned! And there's nothing illegal going on. It's sometimes the law provides vehicles for perfectly legitimate scams. And that's what the PPC is. It is a corporation that has the clothes of a party for legal purposes. Perfectly legal what they're doing. And as, in a sense, I respect and give credit to it. Because here we are in 2025 and they're still they can still raise money. It's incredible to me. And she said to me, "Frank, you just disappeared. I didn't know where you went. How can we get you back to the PPC? How can we address your criticisms? How can we make this party more representative and more fair?" And I told her the truth, which is you can't. There's no vehicle. You have to beg Bernier for permission to do anything. He's not going to share power because he's afraid of you. He's afraid of his own so-called members, the serfs. She said to me in this conversation back and forth on Twitter, she said, "You know, we all look to you as the next in line, that if something happened to Bernier or he decided to step back, we would expect you to step forward. As I pointed out, I gave the opening speech at the conference. I emceed the biggest event in 2019. I sat at the same table as Max when we did the conference. We ate meals together. I had his cell phone number. We had numerous conversations, and he made commitments in those conversations about what the People's Party would look like and that it would be a representative party, and he broke those commitments. And when I called him on it, and I called his principal supporters on it, they understood that those commitments were being broken, but none of them had the courage to actually tell you the truth. That's what I did, and I'm still doing it. I helped create this mess. And I'm committed to cleaning it up. So let's do it, man. You get to keep all the money and all the proceeds. You'll sell all the tickets. We could probably fill 2,000 or 3,000 seats. I'm fairly certain we could, and you can have all the money. Let's just sit down and have a conversation. What do you say? Another little thing that I'm going to talk about today, since we're having a bit of fun. There was an experiment. There's overlap here. I messaged a fellow this morning. He was a PPCer in 2019. I think he still supports the PPC. He's also a flat earther. And I'm not kidding when I say there's a lot of overlap between flat earthers and the PPC. Like, I'm not saying that to be insulting. I'm not trying to be anything. I'm stating another fact. There's a lot of overlap between flat earth people and the PPC. It's kind of crazy. I really didn't know how much overlap there actually was. But there's this thing, if any of you have the same morbid curiosity when it comes to flat earth that I do, they did this thing called the final experiment, where flat earthers and so-called round earthers got on boats and planes and they went down to Antarctica and they filmed the 24-hour sun. They didn't just film it. Flat earthers and round earthers stayed up for 40-odd hours and they watched the thing with their own eyes. They filmed it. In completely unbroken film, they took pictures of the solar disk so that you could actually see the sunspots, like solar photography. They did a really good scientific job of proving the Earth isn't flat. Before they went down there, they asked people all over the world, to anybody who had the technology, the camera gear, to actually do it, to take pictures of the solar disk so that you could see the sunspots at different points on Earth, so that you could compare that to the imagery when they were down in the Antarctic filming the 24-hour sun, and you can see that the sunspots are at different orientations because, I can't even believe I have to explain this stuff, because we're on a ball spinning through the vacuum of space, as unbelievable as the miracle of creation is. If you just spend some time at night looking up at the stars, it's easy to understand why it baffles people so much. The enormity of creation is beyond the human mind to actually comprehend. So maybe that's why we shrink it down. I can't. And part of my morbid curiosity when it comes to flat Earth considering how much the sheer abundance of evidence and the sheer number of professions and people who are working with the round earth model. It's not a model, it's a fact, it's reality. When they filmed the sun, they also, as it traversed the sky, it doesn't change size. So if you were on a flat earth, it would recede from view and it would come into view. It wouldn't stay the same size. Like, in every conceivable scientific way, they collected all the evidence from Antarctica and categorically proved, as if it needed proved again, categorically proved in different ways that we're not on a flat disc. So I reached out to this PPC guy who I've had a back and forth with numerous times. And I tried to convince him that at the winter solstice, he's from Ontario, I said, at the winter solstice, bro, just go to the highest hill that you can find and watch the sun set and tell me with your eyes if it recedes from view and gets further away or it drops right below the horizon. I mean, that's all you need. You don't need all the other stuff. You just need to observe. And what you see will prove that the earth isn't a flat, it's not flat, it's not a flat plane. And, of course, he wouldn't do that. So this final experiment happened, and they just did a bang-up job. There's a guy, Dave McKeegan. If you just type in any spelling that's close to Dave, McKeegin, or something along those lines, you'll find him. Watch his latest video. It's incredible. This guy I super respect. There's other ones. There's like Professor Dave, who's a debunker, and there's things that he talks about when it comes to COVID vaccines and stuff that I completely disagree with. And like, there's all kinds of other people who do it, but Dave McKeegan's very focused. He's very respectful. He's very analytical. And he was there in Antarctica. And so this latest video is just, it's, if you can get a flat earther to watch it, it's the end. It's the end of flat earth. It doesn't exist, but you got to get them to watch it. I messaged this guy, this PPC guy, and I'm just like, okay, I can't get you to watch a sunset. Can I get you to watch this video? They went to Antarctica, and they went there with flat earthers. The flat earthers live streamed from Antarctica, having to admit that the 24-hour sun exists. Will you watch it? And you know the answer. He won't watch it. He won't consider it. He won't even think about it. And he said, I can't educate you, Frank. I can't make you see the truth. I can't make you see reality for what it is. Why don't you go get another booster, as if I wasn't the guy warning you before there was even talk of the experiment that anything that was rushed to market is something that you should avoid. Good advice. And you can read hundreds of comments on my YouTube page of people thanking me for that advice. And I'm not saying that to build myself up. I'm just saying it as a statement of fact. The fact that they have to throw these aspersions at you and these accusations of things that you didn't even believe in order to hold on to their archaic and disproven idea is incredible. Now, how does this link to everything? It's very simple. People don't want to see the truth about Maxime Bernier. People don't want to see the truth about the PPC. They don't want to see the truth about the broken promise that it is. They don't want to see the truth of the fact that they talk about things like, they say words like, Pierre Poilievre supported mandates and supported lockdowns. It's not true. It's absolutely, verifiably not true whatsoever. He tried to advance legislation that would ban mandates through the House. It got voted down by the government, by Jagmeet Singh and Justin Trudeau and their ongoing alliance, which is completely breaking this country. It's just not true. They talk about how Pierre Poilievre is just going to bring the World Economic Forum into government. And he said very publicly, no one will attend the WEF and they're not banned here. Like the world is changing. And the Conservative Party of Canada has changed with it. The beautiful thing about the Andrew Scheer, which, by the way, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I think Andrew Scheer is actually a really good guy. I think he listened to bad advice. I'm not sure he was the guy for the times. And there's a lot about, this is another chapter of the whole PPC saga, is that Bernier lied about the conflict that he had with the Conservative Party of Canada. There was this so-called travel ban. He was banned from traveling, and he was banned from expensing travel expenses because he was, you know, Bernier liked to hop around the country and support different candidates. And he had released a chapter of a book that he was writing on supply management. I hope I'm teasing some people's memories here, because this stuff happened. And supposedly, this chapter out of the book caused Andrew Scheer to ban him from traveling. But number one, the travel ban never happened. And number two, there was never a book. Bernier created the crisis. He was trying to get Scheer to kick him out of the party. And Scheer didn't bite. So Bernier had to quit, and he quit during the Conservative Party convention. I think things would have gone very different for Andrew Scheer if he had different advisors. But we then got Aaron O'Toole, who was the worst leader possibly in conservative political history in the entire Western world, but certainly the worst leader the Conservative Party or any version of conservatism in this country has ever had. Aaron O'Toole was a complete and total failing disaster. But I'm thankful that he happened, because he proved that campaigning with a message of "we're liberals too" wasn't going to convince the public to vote for you. A public that was getting tired of liberalism, a public that was getting tired of the Trudeau-Singh alliance. O'Toole completely discredited catering to the left as a vehicle for victory. He paved the way for Pierre Poilievre. And one of the biggest lies the PPC likes to say is that Poilievre is no different. Now, I've already covered in this video how there's things that I disagree with the Conservative Party on. The uncontested support for the war in Ukraine forever is one of the biggest things I disagree with them on. And there's other things that I could get into, but you are never going to agree with anybody 100% of the time. The CPC has changed. They're very different from what they were under Aaron O'Toole. Where's Aaron O'Toole these days? Is he even in the backbench? I mean, things have changed fundamentally. When Bernier was in government with Stephen Harper, he helped Stephen Harper bring home Agenda 2030. He was instrumental. He attended the World Economic Forum. He was an open advocate for the Nixon takeover. And he wanted far more Chinese Communist Party money flowing into this country. He criticized in 2017 Justin Trudeau for being too slow to get a free trade deal done with the Chinese that would have saw their capital pour into this country in unrestricted volumes. He was an advocate for the buying up of our real estate by Chinese money. He was an advocate for gutting this country. Bernier did that. He served as the second most powerful person in the Harper government. Well, Agenda 2030 came home. He voted for C-16. He did all of these things. And I bring this up because when I joined with him to create the PPC as a co-founder of the People's Party of Canada, I wanted to give him an opportunity to repent, because people change. And I told him numerous times, you need to address this head on. You need to take responsibility for what you did. And you need to explain why it was a mistake. But like most politicians, he just hid from his responsibility. And he allowed his people to do the battling and the obfuscating for him as a strategy. It was a strategy of the People's Party, even in 2019, to not face criticism, but to avoid it. That's why he uses the block button more liberally than any Conservative Party MP, more liberally than the Liberals themselves. Bernier will block you so fast because he doesn't need you. He wants to use you, and he wants to get your money like he did with Tim Moen. He used Tim Moen to get access to the donor list of the Libertarian Party so that he could steal it. And then he ghosted Tim and left him behind, someone that was supposed to be his friend. He did the same thing with various other friends that were supposedly friends of his for lives, people who had sat down and introduced them to their kids and had meals, that Bernier just completely ghosted them when they weren't helpful to his goal of securing money for himself. People say he could get a job in the private sector. He can't get a job anywhere. He's toxic. No one will hire him. PPC is all he has. And he doesn't want it to be successful, because if it's successful, he'll have to work, and he doesn't like to work. He just likes to collect the money. I gave Bernier the benefit of the doubt and the opportunity to create an alternative and to repent and to show through his actions that he actually felt guilty for the things that he did. And he failed. Pierre Poilievre gets the exact same opportunity, because I'm an ethical man, I'm a moral man, and I'm a balanced man. He has earned his right to govern. And it's clear in the opinion polls, he's nearing 50% popular support. He's changed the message. He's changed the party. Now he gets an opportunity to display how deep that change goes. He's the only one in a position to defeat Trudeau and Jagmeet Singh. He's the only one in a position to do anything. He gets the same opportunity that Bernier got. I hope he doesn't squander it. Listen, folks, if he does, I'm going to be the first person in a year or two or 3 years to sit here and tell you how he screwed the pooch. Just like I'm unafraid to tell you right now that his unconditional support for the Ukrainian war is a mistake. The war was unnecessary. It's a Western-created war. It didn't have to happen. NATO's the expansionist force in the world. Not the defender anymore. The empire. We are the empire. I've said it 100 times. Poilievre hasn't blocked me. The people in the Conservative Party that I still talk to me. We have differences of opinion. It's allowed to happen. You can't get that from Max. Anyway, if the PPC wants to make some money, they want to have a good time, let's do this. Let's rent an arena somewhere. Let's sell some tickets. What do you say, Max? Let's have a couple-hour conversation. If you're such a visionary leader, you should be able to put me down very quickly. And I would welcome it. I'm Frank Vaughn, and I will see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.